So, beloved, let's head back to Jerusalem and to be with Jesus and the leadership of the Jews. He's just healed that man who for 38 years was lame, looking for some magical healing there in that pool that supposedly the angels stirred up. And then we see that the Pharisees are upset with Jesus because he healed the man on the Sabbath and asked him to walk. So John chapter 5, we're going to be reading beginning at verse 16 on page 1643. So for this reason, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and told the man to walk and take up his pallet, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. Then he will show himself greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, so even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly," or if really both those "most assuredly" are the amen and amen, "I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, or my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we continue to deal with the exaltation and the humiliation in the Gospel of John, which he joins together. That Christ, because he is exalted, is humiliated by those who won't accept him for his exaltation. And so our beloved Savior does an amazing miracle, and he heals a man who for 38 years could not walk. That man gets up and walks. He seems, we don't ever hear him saying, "Thank you, Jesus. How can I serve you, Jesus? What can I do for you, Jesus?" We see nothing of it. He simply goes. He's confronted by the Jews. "Why are you carrying your pallet or your mattress on the Lord's, on the Sabbath day? You're not allowed to do that. You should know better." "Well," he says, "the man who healed me, he told me to do it. Who is this man? I don't even know who he is. I never thought to ask." Jesus goes, finds that man, and he speaks to that man, and he says, "Stop sinning. Sin no more. You think it's bad that you don't walk for 38 years? How much worse is it going to be for you to live in hell for 38 years into eternity that will never end because you do not stop sinning? You do not honor me." Well, this man, as we read together, he goes and he tells the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, and they confront Jesus Christ. "How dare you? How dare you, Jesus, tell a man to violate the Sabbath? Who do you think that you are?" And notice the defense of Jesus now is to go on the offense. And what he says to them is, "Look, my Father is working. My Father has been working all the time." We read the law from Exodus 20 this morning. "In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, to see that all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day." He rested from his acts of creation. He didn't rest from taking care of the universe, of providing for it. And he certainly didn't rest from healing people on a Sabbath, which the rabbis themselves from the extra-biblical literature that we read that they wrote believed and understood. But then Jesus throws in the caveat and he says, you see what the Father does? I am doing. Because I am doing his work and he is working through me. I'm simply doing what my Father does, and that's why I can heal on the Sabbath, and that's why I can tell that man, take up your mat and go home. My Father. His work is my work. And now they're furious. And now they're angry. So what is happening now is Jesus is going to clear up the God confusion that's happening in Jerusalem. He's already cleared up the God confusion in terms of that pool and the things that were going on with that pool. And he says, get up and walk. Here I am. I have the power of God. I am the Son of God. I am the Word that was made flesh. Here I am. Obey me, honor me, and give your life to me. And now he's going to point out to these Jews who think that they have been given the way by the law, that they have been given the authority by God through their expanded intelligence and their commentaries on the law. And now Jesus is saying, here I am. And if you honor me, you honor my Father. However, if you do not honor me, you do not honor my Father. Today is the day of judgment. And by the grace of Almighty God, this morning, this is what we hear. And this is where we are at in our time together. We're looking through God's Word. And Christ is coming to you today. And he's going to say to you, if you honor me, you honor my Father. If you honor me, you will have eternal life. Have it now, looking forward to a second resurrection when you will pass from this life into glory. But if you don't, you will pass from this life into eternal condemnation. This is also Jesus. This is the Jesus the world doesn't want. This is the message that the world doesn't want to hear. That we're going to hear again in John chapter 10, that I am the good shepherd and that no one comes to the Father except through me. Ours is an exclusive religion. We are saying there is only one way. For some of us who are old enough to remember that, there were those bumper stickers with the finger. One way. And people don't want to hear that. They want to hear about many ways, or they want to hear about no way, or they don't want to hear about it at all. But this is the message. This is what has been given to us. That the Son does the Father's work. First of all, of raising the dead. Second of all, of judgment. And thirdly, to bring honor to the Father. So in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was life, and that life was the light of men. That light has come into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light came to his own, but they did not receive him. So that prologue is working itself out now in a very direct and very careful way. So we read then in verse 19, then Jesus answered them and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater things or greater works than these that you may marvel. So do you children remember what Jesus did before he started his ministry, where he worked? He was a carpenter, right? And you know how he learned to be a carpenter? In his father's shop. And in his father's shop, his father showed him how to use a hammer. And his father showed him how to use a saw. And like your fathers, he showed you what to do when you hit your thumb with the hammer and the right words to speak. Jesus learned from his father how to be a builder. When you think of carpenter, by the way, beloved, you need to think of someone who builds homes. It's not just that he was, you know, making wheels for carts and stuff like that, but he would have made the door posts. He would have set up the joists and all of those sorts of things. Jesus learned to be a builder in his father's house. And he uses that kind of language now to talk about being the builder of the kingdom. It's really quite beautiful. You know what my father did in the carpenter shop? Now my father in heaven does the exact same thing. I am the son who is taking over the father's business, so to speak. I am going to sit at the right hand of Almighty God. I am not only the new Adam, the son of man, which he speaks about. I am the Son of God. I am His only Son. And He is showing me the work that He is doing and giving it to me to do. And the example of that is telling that man who was lame to get up and walk. And that simply by virtue of me speaking it, that man got up and walked on a Sabbath day, because that pleases God. We sang that together from Psalm 146, that those bowed down with anguish, those who are oppressed, those who are suffering, the Lord lifts up. The Pharisees want to keep you down. The Pharisees have nothing to offer a man who's been lame. But Jesus says, I do, because the Father does. And do you think this miracle of having this man get up and walk, you think that's amazing? Jesus says that you may marvel about works that are going to be greater than these. And then verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, so the Son gives life to whom He will. Wow. How amazing is that? Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but pass from death to life. So in Scripture, we talk about the first resurrection and we talk about the second resurrection. So we read then, say in 1 Corinthians 15, that we are a body that is sown corruptible and raised incorruptible. All right? And that talks about the second resurrection. And that's the resurrection we mostly talk about, that we mostly understand. So in Revelation we read, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign for him with 1,000 years. So it's interesting that John, who wrote this in John 5, where Jesus says, those who hear my word, those who honor me, have eternal life now, is the one to whom the revelation is given of the first resurrection. The first resurrection, when you come from the deadness of your unbelief, of your rebellion, of your hard heart, and Christ burst in and made you alive. And that when you become alive, you honor Him. You want to give your life to Him. And in that living, honoring, you bring glory to God Almighty. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That every tongue confess Him, King of glory, now. That there is this intricate relationship. So now God, through Jesus, and Jesus by the authority of God, is saying to those Jews, I'm going to clear up the confusion now. God is three in one. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. And I and the Father are one. And then just before Jesus dies, in John 17, we're going to read, Father, let them know, let them believe, let them see that you and I are one. Make them one as you and I are one. The Jews couldn't wrap their head around this. There is one God, Deuteronomy 6, and He is one. And now Christ is saying, no, I and the Father am God. We are doing the work of God. The Father initiates that work. He directs that work. Now go to Revelation. And in Revelation, we have John going up, and there's that scroll, and no one's worthy to open that scroll. And then the Lamb opens it, and now we have the unfolding of church history. It's given to Jesus to do. The Lamb of God is the Lion of Judah. He is ruling everything. And the great, amazing, powerful thing that He does is to raise people from the dead in their faith life. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the second resurrection, in which Revelation is talking there about the second death, that when Christ comes again, our bodies will be reunited with our souls, and then we'll stand there on the great day of judgment, and Jesus Christ will go, these on the right belong to me, and we will go into the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem forever and ever. But these who do not honor Him, who reject Him, who do not have faith, who are not resurrected in the first resurrection, will not share in the second, but eternal condemnation. And we'll hear about more of that. But that's what Jesus can do. This is the power of Jesus Christ. Do not be amazed at this, for there is a time coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good will rise to live. This is Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where Michael comes to Daniel and speaks to him of the end times, so that we're seeing through the return of the exile, through the coming of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through all of that, then Michael tells Daniel, and then us, there will come a day when the bodies will come out from the grave. And that happens when Jesus Christ dies. The moment that he dies, people come up out of the graves, we read, on that Friday, and knock on the doors of their families. What was that like? That when you and I stand at a cemetery, and that's a remarkable thing, I always think, what would it be like if Jesus Christ comes and you're standing in a cemetery and all these bodies are flying up out of there? How cool would that be? And bodies are going to be coming up from everywhere. God knows where all these bodies are for all the 40,000 or 48,000 years the earth has been in existence. It's just a remarkable, amazing, and powerful thing. And Jesus says, I can do that. And the Jews said, well, yeah, Elijah did that and Elisha did that. They were great prophets. But Jesus is saying something different. Elijah had to ask God. Elisha had to pray to God. Jesus is saying, I have authority to do it in and of myself. No wonder then God gives this glory to the Son, that we may honor the Father, and that this is part of the Father's work. Now Jesus goes on and he says that for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And then again, he who has sent me has eternal life, but they who reject me, right, shall not come into or have passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has granted life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Now we have Daniel 7. And in Daniel 7, we see the revelation of the Son of God coming down, who is in the form of the Son of Man. He's the Messiah. He is the new Adam. All dominion in heaven and earth has been given to him. And now God the Father says, I give you my Son, the power to resurrect my people, but now I also give you the right to judge the living and the dead. And again, this is the Jesus that nobody really wants. They want the soft Jesus, the loving Jesus, the Jesus who is a good example of the way you should live your life, the self-sacrificing Jesus. Not the aggressive Jesus who sends people to hell. That's what he's talking about. That he will send them to eternal condemnation. Hell is real. And it's terrible. You know, we speak about that sometimes when we talk about heaven together, eh? How beautiful will heaven be? And then we go, you know, I can't really wrap my head around heaven because I'm imperfect. Because I'm dying. Because I'm aging. Because I'm old. Whatever it is. But you really can't wrap your head around hell either. How bad is hell? We think of the things of the Holocaust. We see the things that are going on in our world. You walk into a crack house, you see the things that head in there, you go, man, that's like hell on earth. It's not. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is still on earth. There is only the pure wrath of God. And in hell, they shake their fists at hell. They still won't honor God in hell. And they will not honor the Son in hell. And they will blame him. You put me here. And it's your fault. And with Adam, it's the woman you gave me. And then the woman, it's the serpent. He tempted me. And nobody is there saying, I'm sorry. But they're angry with God. That's part of the horror of it. When Jesus, later on, we'll talk about it, the place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The place where the worm never dies and the flame never goes out, Gehenna. That's where everybody took their personal refuse and dumped it outside the city wall and lit a fire. You can imagine the stink and how sick and gross it is. That's what Jesus compares hell to, and it's worse. Jesus is going to come to judge the living and the dead. Remember what we read in the prologue? This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who hates evil hates the light. Who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That's why Jesus has come also. And then by extension, you are walking in this world and you too are the executors of Christ's judgment. Because as the Holy Spirit works through you and you live a life of glory and you speak the words of hope and truth and you present to them a Jesus who has to be honored, if they reject your message, they're rejecting the Son. If they reject the Son, they do not honor the Father. And we just heard about it. If you don't honor the Son or the Father, you're going to hell. And that's for all of you too. Honor the Father. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Why? Philippians 2 tells us, because he became the lowest of all creatures, even to death on the cross. He died that we might have life again. This afternoon or this evening, we're going to hear about baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all of us who are baptized into his death have been raised anew. But if you're not baptized into that death, if you do not share it by the baptism of the Holy Spirit in faith and in truth and in honor, if you do not share in that resurrection, there's only hell to pay. And we think of those words at that time, Psalm chapter 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish in the way. And again, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, but some to shame and everlasting contempt. If you're marveling because a man is walking again, wait till you see when Jesus Christ comes again and the trumpet shall sound and the sky be rolled back as a scroll and the voice shall resound. Will you be able to say on that day, it is well? It is well with my soul at the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow. Do you look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ or will you cower? Will you hide? Will you be filled with an anxiety? Watch people who die. See people who die in the Lord with a smile on their face, with even a wink or a look. And then see others who wrestle and fight and the families whining and weeping. They have no hope because they know there is no hope. There's no life. There's no joy. If you don't honor Jesus Christ, and Jesus says, that's been given to me. The Father's honored me. So that when I come again to judge the living and the dead, you will all honor the Father and give him all the glory. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. This is who our God is. This is what he is doing and this is what he is about. And now those Jews are being confronted by the grace of God. My leaders, here is my Son. Listen to him. Look at what the signs and the wonders are attesting to. Listen to him and believe him when he says that he is coming again. Listen to him when he says those who are dead will rise again. The Sadducees need to figure this out and hear this. We need to be telling this, beloved, to the world. Hey, Buddhists, I know you say there's a God, but if you don't have Jesus, you're not honoring the God. Because you're not honoring the Son whom he sent. And hey, Muslims, there's some things that we share. There's some things that we understand together, but you don't have Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have an Allah. You have no God. You don't have the God. And hey, you Jews who reject Jesus Christ, bend your knee to him and listen to him. And all of you Canadians who sit at a hockey game or at the football game and sing Ruler Supreme, who hearest endless prayer, or God keep our land glorious and free. If you don't have the Son, you don't know the God you're speaking to. And if you're speaking to a God who's the ruler supreme and you don't have Jesus, then you're also the one who is bound to face His wrath and His judgment. Do you believe that, beloved? Do you love your neighbors enough? Do we have courage enough? Are we more worried about our own personal demise, the money we might lose, the beating we might take, the laughing at us that will happen, the scorn, the ridicule? Look at Christ. He stands there. He doesn't lose His temper. He doesn't lose His cool. We don't get a sense that He's yelling at them. He's simply saying, this is who I am. My Father has been apprenticing me. He has shown me everything, and now I'm telling it to you. So there can be no confusion now. This is what God does. The signs and the wonders, they testify to it. Honor my Father. Worship Him. Give Him glory. And do that by bending the knee to me. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you be destroyed in the way. Or as Paul wrote to the Philippians, therefore God has exalted Him to the highest place and given Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Scripture always interprets Scripture. Philippians 2 applies for us John chapter 5. John chapter 5 applies for us Daniel 7, Daniel 12, Isaiah chapter 11. He will judge not by what He sees or what He hears, but by the Spirit that is upon Him. Isaiah chapter 9, that He is the wonderful Counselor, the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. That Psalm 2 comes alive. The Lord has said to His Son and appointed Him on the holy hill, I give all the nations, and He will come and He will dash them like a potter's urn. Everything of that Old Testament is coming together now in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you believe? Worship the King. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Honor Him. Honor Him by telling the world that, brothers, this Lord Jesus shall return again with His Father's glory and with His angel train, for all wreaths of empire meet upon His brow. And our hearts confess Him, King of glory now. Worship King Jesus. Worship King Jesus and you worship the Father. Moved by the Spirit into this new resurrected life, we have been given a new hope, new identity, new power, new joy, and new life that will never end. Repent and believe. The King is here and the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we sat in darkness, and this morning we have seen a glorious light. Your light has shined on us, and the shades of death have been removed. Father in heaven, we hail the Son of Righteousness, who is gathering from the nations as a reaper is going forth. Send us, Lord, as reapers with joy. And Father in heaven, we would tell the world of the King of Hope, who is born to us. True God and true man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Father and the Son working together. Lord, we have heard it, we have seen it. He is our wonderful Counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so, Father in heaven, we pray that Lord Jesus would reign in us, that He would make us yours, that by the Spirit we would become one with You, even as Christ and You are one. And that, Father, we would go forward into the world with this great triumphant message. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And because He is risen from the dead, we too are risen from the dead. Because He is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.